You played a role in drafting the new federal education law. What role did Rhode Islanders play in that process?
Actually, Rhode Islanders played a really big role. We had a working group that, in some cases, had been working on what became elements of the bill for years. And when we saw the bill coming, we had a more focused working group on a whole array of things. So it was very Rhode Island-based in terms of the things that I got into the bill.
And a lot of supporters out there are saying this new law will de-emphasize standardized testing. How does it do that?
People who are listening probably remember taking tests in school, and the test affected their grade. What was developed back in the last bill, the one that this replaced, is a program where students would be obliged to take tests, but they wouldn't be graded on the outcome of the test. The school would be graded. So that created immense pressure on the school to make sure that the students did well at those tests. And the result was that parts of the curriculum that weren't tested in these standardized tests kind of fell off because they wouldn't contribute to good student scores. And then there was immense pressure to make students do well. There'd be pretests and training tests and rallies and all this falderal that was not classroom time. And so,
and we should say that the tests are tests of math and English.
Yeah. And so what this bill does is that it allows states to come up with different ways for testing how schools are performing and look at information that's already available out there, like how many kids are taking SATs and PSATs and how are they doing? How many kids are taking AP classes and how are they doing? How many kids go on to college and how do they do there? And put together a dashboard of information that is readily available and that lifts that burden of fear and anxiety off the school.
But the standardized tests are not going to go away under this bill. States will still administer annual standardized tests, and that still has to be part of the way that schools are rated.
That's part of the compromise, but it's going to be dramatically reduced. And what our hope is that its function at that point will be to help make sure that kids are being tracked from year to year as to their progress, so that if there's a problem, the school knows to intervene. And it's not just the tests themselves that were the problem. It was that whole array of pre-testing drama and excitement and practice tests and all of that.
What's your sense of how big a role these standardized tests will play under this new law?
I think it'll vary state by state. And I think an important part of what we wanted was to let states have much more freedom to innovate. And then we'll learn from who did better and what the best ideas were. And I think that'll move education forward in the country rather than have everything be dictated by the Federal Department of Education.
Now, Senator Whitehouse, as you mentioned, under this legislation, states like Rhode Island will create their own systems for identifying schools that need to improve. But there are plenty of schools we already know have struggled and are struggling. In some cases, this has gone on for years with problems like very low test scores, poor school climate. What are the consequences for those schools and for the state if they don't improve?
We put a lot more flexibility into that area as well. When a state is determined that a school needs an improvement plan, it will have a lot more flexibility and it will have the ability to administer more rapidly its improvement plan. The unfortunate situation had been that once a low-performing school was identified, you now had the school district, you had the state school department, and you had the Federal Department of Education, all with an interest in what that plan looked like. And that's just too many bureaucracies. And frankly, I think a low-performing school is an emergency and you need to be able to adapt and move really quickly in response to it. And the turnaround time of getting things cleared with the federal government and all of that, it just became a really awkward, clumsy, burdensome system. So we hope that by freeing it up and letting the states have much more flexibility in how they respond to this, we'll again see better outcomes and be able to learn from a broader array of outcomes.
Are there any consequences, though, ultimately, if a school doesn't turn around?
That would be, I think, determined locally. I don't particularly care to have the federal government be in the business of saying, you know, close that school. States can figure this out, communities can figure this out, and they should be allowed to.
Senator Whitehouse, as one of the drafters of this law, are there provisions that you're particularly proud of that are not getting as much press as the issues around standardized testing and improving failing schools?
Those should be the big issues, because that's what people are going to see in classrooms across the country, and it's going to be, I think, a real relief to everybody. The areas that we worked in, first, I wanted to have a better innovation model that allowed the different standards and regulations at the local and the state and the federal level all to be cleared out of the way if there was a good state innovation plan. And I got some language in for that. We're going to have to work with the Department of Education to flesh it out because it got whittled down quite a lot in the conference, but it's still there. And I think that's an important beachhead on reform. And then I really wanted to focus on kids who were having trouble and who we were losing. And so I got a provision in to push back into middle school and require states to report on what they were doing to make sure that middle schools were turning out kids to high school who were ready to perform. Because when you lose a child in middle school, it's really hard to recover them onto the track. We have provisions for kids who need addiction recovery services, for kids who get involved with the juvenile justice system. So that's been pretty important. And then, of course, you know, here in Providence, we have incredibly good after-school program. And for some reason, the Department of Education has always been kind of gunning for these outside-of-school after-school programs. And so it was a victory to make sure that we got the community-based after-school programs really strongly supported in the bill. And that was a David Cicilline fight on the House side as well. He was key to that.
Representative David Cicilline.
Yeah.
Senator Sheldon Whitehouse represents Rhode Island in Washington, D.C. Thanks so much for taking the time to be here today.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.